What does he think is going to happen if you get nominated to the Supreme Court? You think you're not going to get smeared by the press? Well, of course you are. He's not going to dream some stuff up. Did anybody in his family or friends find those ridiculous allegations credible? No. Does that destroy your family? If someone made those kinds of preposterous allegations against you right now, since you're married, would you be crying about it? Would you be worried? Would it be so hurtful to your wife? Or would she be going, what is this crap? Some crap from 25 years ago? In his case, it's like 35 years
ago. Yeah, exactly.
Some lady pops up. Nobody believed it. Nobody believed it. If his marriage was problematic and put into crisis as a result of allegations that preposterous, the man's just not fit to serve. That's all. He's not fit to serve. If someone made allegations like that against me, I'd be like, whatever.
Yeah, okay, buddy.
Come on. 40 years ago, you're making this crap up. Why is this the first time we're hearing about it? You don't give it credence by acting like it's destroying your life. See, that's the reason I suspected there probably is a lot of truth to it, if he's not just completely making it up. But when I watched a little bit of it, he looked like he was actually crying up there.
He was. He like started breaking down. Like,
his eyes were watering and stuff. And I was laughing with my buddies, and I was like, man, this is so typical of a judge. It's so typical of these judges because they've had such an easy life where everyone just laughs extra hard at their jokes at cocktail parties and nobody ever challenges them anyway. That guy's entire career has never been challenged in any form or fashion. You know, Department of Justice, district judge, then a circuit judge. Nobody ever challenges that man. So here you are, you got somebody up there actually challenges him. He just falls like a wet paper sack, starts crying. I just contempt for the guy like that. You know, he's up there. Imagine how many people he has fucked over in his life. Just imagine. And he didn't, tough it up, and, you know, sentencing guidelines and be off to prisons and stuff. And then here you pull out this ridiculous allegation about something that supposedly happened at a party that apparently he wasn't even there or never even occurred. It's just obvious as hell it's made up. And he's crying about it, saying his life is destroyed.
It was three or four good days of a show. It was a hell of a show.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah. Right. That's just a big old show. And, you know, if you really want to get an actual guy in there who's going to stand up for the people, you don't nominate a lifetime government employee. You nominate like a hard-boiled criminal defense lawyer who's been fighting the government his whole career. That's who you put on the court. That guy will get up there and actually rule in favor of the people. Not a lifetime government employee. They're not going to rule in favor of the people. He's silly. But, you know, this is the world we live in.
Well, it always seems like, to me, I'm just, as an, I'm talking from a, let's say, news consumer or a U.S. citizen's point of view, trying not to be jaded, but it's always the same list. Oh, there's
always.
And it's like, wait a minute, where does this list come from? I know where it comes from, but where does it come from? Right. Why are there all the same people on the list? And what?
Always the same retread. It's no different than the way they retread in all these coaches in the NBA and NFL. You know, it's just the same guys over and over and over again, and their families now, and their sons all coming in. That's all it is. It's just an insider's game. Like I said, if you want quality people, there's plenty of them. But those are people who have been fighting the government their entire careers, not sitting there building a resume to get on. They're going to the right kind of judicial apprenticeship and clerking for the right person this, right person that, writing bullshit opinions. I mean, Amy Coney Barrett, she has that kind of super precedent, and people think she's conservative. A super precedent? She dreams up this idea of a super precedent itself is nonsense. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that legal cases are precedent. Why isn't that in there? Isn't that an important fact? Well, it should be in there, but it's not because nobody's agreed to it.
Okay, so most people won't understand what you're talking about when you say super precedent.
Yeah, this is something she dreamed up, that legal cases themselves, the way the court works, is that if the Supreme Court rules on something, if it's a so-called holding, then all the other courts must follow it, quotes. They must follow it. If it's a holding in a circuit court, then any district court inside that circuit must follow it. That's considered precedent. Now, it can all get abused all the time, but the questions were about whether or not she, what she was writing on was whether or not there's certain kinds of precedents, Supreme Court precedents, that are so important, so instrumental, such a part of American culture now that they should be considered super precedents and therefore should not be something that the court should ever sort of revisit and possibly reverse. So you're talking about, in effect, locking people in that the court can't even reverse, can't even reconsider the position because it's a super precedent. And I'm sure it originally came up because of something like, you know, Roe is what she's thinking about, Roe v. Wade. And, you know, because she was, I guess she's at least pretends to be a Catholic or something. That was where it came from. Now, what would you do with Roe? And she has this super precedent argument that there's certain things, certain cases that are so important, Brown v. Board of Education or something, that they should never be reconsidered in effect because they're super precedents. Just layers upon layers of made up stuff, you know, just layers upon layers. I tell people all the time that the Supreme Court case is not the law of the land. That's utterly nonsensical. It's ridiculous. It's not true. There's nothing the Constitution says, and nobody would agree to it because the simple fact is the case binds the parties to the case, and that's it. The court can't even rule unless it has subject matter and personal jurisdiction over the parties. Well, if you have to get personal jurisdiction over the parties to even have a case and rule, well, they never got personal jurisdiction over me or you or anybody else.
Exactly.
And so it doesn't bind us. It's just a suggestion. That's all. And all these things ever were the stare decisis. The way it was used is that if you had a situation with an odd set of facts or something else, you would read a case. And if another judge who you respected wrote an opinion and kind of gave an explanation of his thought process about why, you know, a certain outcome and applications would make sense, and you thought, hey, you know what, that actually makes a lot of sense, well, then you would use it. That's it. It wasn't, you're not bound to it. The idea that you're bound to precedent is the opposite of justice. You're supposed to get the best justice in every case. Well, if I'm obligated to follow some other opinion, which might have been a horrible opinion, could have been corrupt, could have been a mistake, could have had crappy counsel, could have had weird facts, there's a thousand reasons why it might have been a terrible example and a bad holding. If I'm obligated to follow it from there forward, you're locking in. That's the opposite of what a court's supposed to do. It's supposed to consider each litigant, each situation, each fact, and try to create the best justice. By having this precedent, it doesn't. And it's clearly not in the Constitution, because if it was, you wouldn't need a statute, which is what the United States government has done. They passed a statute that requires the circuit courts and the district courts to follow the precedent in their circuits in the Supreme Court. That wouldn't be necessary if precedent and the Supreme Court was a law of the land. You would not need that statute. You wouldn't need it. It's proof. That's proof right there. That it's not the law of the land that we're obligated to. That's proof right there. But people just, you know, it's all ignored. Everything's ignored, as you know. It's all ignored.
It's a damn, well, what it is I go back and you start reading about, you know, the 1700, late 1700s and up through the Civil War and after the Civil War about the Supreme Court and the Founding Fathers' intentions and things like that, and nothing today even resembles anything like that. It's like they didn't want to have, of course, they didn't have nine justices until right after the Civil War, but, and the number, I think, fluctuated of justices, but they weren't supposed to be five or seven individuals deciding what what the law of the land is. It's insane.
Right.
I say that all the time, and people send me emails and say, I don't think you know your history, and I write them back, in fact, I do. It's these guys are just another agency. And in my book, they've been corrupted and time again. I mean, look at look at Obamacare, okay? Look at John Roberts. Give me a break. If that didn't spell it out for you, I don't know what does. And that's why.
Well, I did a show on the legal tender laws. Because you brought up the Supreme Court and the Civil War. You know, the people who actually packed the court were the Republicans during and after the Civil War. They maneuvered the number up and down multiple times, and they did it all in order to get these legal tender laws jammed through. And And, you know, people understand the Federal Reserve. Yes, of course, the Federal Reserve is an unconstitutional joke, but it wouldn't matter if there were no legal tender laws. See, the legal tender laws are what require that you use and this made-up legal tender from the United States. That's what it is. It requires you use their fake currency. And, of course, originally it was challenged immediately because it's obviously a Fifth Amendment taking your property. You must take this thing that has no value and exchange it for the thing that has value, which is your time or your property. You have to give that away to somebody who's using something that has no value, just a made-up fantasy value like what we have now. Well, that's obviously a Fifth Amendment taking, right? That's obviously a Fifth Amendment. You can't take someone's personal property of any sort without fair and just compensation and all these other different procedural mechanisms. So it was obviously a violation, and the court originally heard it and tossed it out on that reason because it's so obvious. Well, what they did, they shrunk the court, they packed it with two more justices, and then they immediately brought it back up and they reversed it. And that's it. That's how they did it. And so it's, you know, when you see things like that, that blatant, that were undertaken during that kind of Civil War, right after the post-Civil War kind of period, where it was, that's when any possible concept that we have a constitution, limited government, and consent of the people, that's all out the window. You can't have, there's no possible theoretical construct where you hold a voluntary union together, whether it's states or people, it doesn't matter which, with a war. See, that's not possible. That's a total impossibility. And it doesn't matter what the war's fought over. It's completely irrelevant. It doesn't matter who was right or wrong. You can't hold a voluntary union together with a war. And so whatever the Constitution was, whatever validity it ever had, whatever consent there ever was to it, it's all over as soon as there's a civil war. It's just done. And so, you know, you're right. You know your history. Nobody would ever agree to a unelected star chamber of unknown number who would then meet in secret and would come out with an opinion, not even a unanimous one, that we would then all be bound to for all times. Who would agree to such an arrangement? It's just on its face, obviously not true. And yet, as you and I both know, people believe.
They believe.
They believe.
I mean,
they believe.
The insanity has crossed into just about every facet of life, corruption, stupidity. I wouldn't say stupidity. I'd say ignorance more than anything. People just don't take the time, and nor do they care to take the time to look into these things, and not understanding that by doing so they could be able to shape their lives, I think, and chart a better course.
Yes,
but they won't do it, you know. But
what about their kids? Do they not care about their kids and their kids and their grandkids? I don't understand.
Yeah,
do they not care about them? What are they locking them into?
Well, we're seeing it. We're seeing people line the kids up for their shots, and I'm shaking my head. And I got family members doing this, and I say, "You guys, I don't know what to say to you." Because I said, "Well, what's your opinion on it?" I said, 3 hours a day, tune in. My opinion on it. I mean, I can't give you this in 5 minutes. Well, and then they asked, if you could tell somebody in less than 5 minutes why not to do it, what would you tell them? I said, it doesn't work. That's
you
it.
Don't have to mandate personal protection. People are going to protect themselves. If it works, I take it. And if it works, then it doesn't matter if I take it. You're protected. It's just everything about it is so crazy.
Well, you saw them come out. They're coming out. Yesterday, they were in full force. This is a day or two before Christmas. This is going to run. This show will run between Christmas and New Year, so we'll be a couple days behind. But they're out in full force. Everybody, they dusted off Tony Blair. They found this relic in the basement. They brought him up from the catacombs. Him, he was out. Trump was out. Take the vaccine. Everybody and their mom is out. And I'm saying, don't you understand? If you haven't done it by now, and you've told your employer, go fuck yourself. I don't care if you fire me. What, somehow these people are going to have some sway over you? I mean, you're dug in. You understand. And the more they beat the drum, guys like me, perhaps guys like you say, Thank you for reminding me what assholes you are and how how right I am with my decisions. I mean, it's insane.
What's just so funny to me is that I don't. I've got two close friends who are both MDs, and you know they're completely black pilled, and obviously I'm against this insane thing that they're pushing out as a so called vaccine. But when I look at it, I just say, I don't even need to do any investigation, to be honest. If the government's telling me this is a good idea and they're pushing it on me, then I know it's not true. And so, I can go and do my investigation to find out why it is that, in fact, this is not true. But I already know. I already know it's not true if the government's telling me it's a great idea and I need it. And if the government's telling me I have to do it, well, then all possible even potential theoretical doubt is removed. Obviously, it's not in my interest if government's requiring I do it. There's really nothing else. But I know most people, you know, they're not nearly at that point. But I really am at that point, have been for, you know, decades. It's just obvious. They don't ever tell me anything that's good for me. And that's the opposite of what they do.
Well, at one point, I was fairly convinced that, you know, if enough people out here were telling the truth and they'd eventually break through to these people, I don't even think that's possible anymore. I've given up that trek. I don't know why I thought that. I guess, you know, a little naive. But, man, folks are lost. I mean, lost. And they...
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you that, you know, I've for a long time, I've considered that the vast majority of people are not reachable. But there was, I think the amount of people I thought were probably reachable has shrunk. I always thought it was probably in like the, you know, a third of the people kind of thing were kind of reachable with the kind of message I give, because it's just so hardcore. It's, you know, I kind of joke that it's cyanide pill. It's so hardcore. But even if I could just convince some of them of the, that's why I stick to mostly legal issues. Just because at least I am a lawyer, you know, so it's like, okay, well, he is a lawyer, you know, are you an expert? Yeah, I've practiced law for more than 30 years, dude, I'm an expert. But when I look at the total number now of who might be reachable as a result of watching 2 years of this insanity, I think it's smaller. I think it's closer to a quarter, maybe 20% of the people are reachable. I think that they are reachable. Like, you know, if your show or my show or something was heard by everybody, that, you know, I think that's about the number of people that might go, wow, hey, you know, that makes sense, you know, because people are desperate. I hear it all the time. I used to listen to a lot of like conservative talk radio long, long time ago. And so I'm super familiar with all their arguments. But, you know, in the last long time, decade more, I don't really hardly ever listen, but I hear a little. And I'm telling you, even with a little bit I hear, there's a lot of people who are very frustrated, who are looking for answers. And they get that same old garbage from those guys each time with the voting and the organizing and all this stupid crap. And they're not satisfied with it. And so we both know what a small portion of people will ever comment or call, et cetera, and participate. So they have to know that, wow, if they're getting through, that means they're a pretty significant portion of the listeners. And they're out there. They want to hear it. You know, they want to hear it. For me, the issue is, how do you get them the word, and what kind of message really resonates with them? What kind of message really resonates? Because the only thing that actually will ever work is somebody who's open to hearing, and they have to want to hear the truth and be willing to face it. That's the hardest burden. That's why we only have a small number of people who can get over it. But even when you have those, you still have to have some points that make them go, huh, that aren't so outrageous that they think you're a kook and shut it off. That to me is the difficult balance. That really is a very difficult balance.
Well, I found that it's interesting to talk shop with you regarding that, because I found, and it's probably in the last 5 months, that after the election, we came out and you know, we had a lot of MAGA folks and stuff, and I said, well, how are we going to break it to them? This is November and December. After elections,
right.
How are we going to break it to them that these lawsuits are a complete joke and they're going nowhere? I mean, it's not even, they're the worst I've ever seen. They're not even trying. You know, they're on TV. They're saying, oh, we're doing all this stuff. And, but the lawsuits, it's like, you know, not even a first-year law student. It's like a high school level right. stuff. And I'm saying, screw it. We're just going to tell people these lawsuits suck. And they're going nowhere. And so people jump, you're not on our team. I'm like, oh, whatever team you think you're on, I guess I'm not on. But and they say, I'm not listening anymore. And you're one there of them, blah, blah. So I said, good. Goodbye. You'll be back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, they came back and they said, you were right. Now, some of them are just coming back now. So that's like 10 months, wow. 11 months. And they're saying, wow. you were right. You were right. I didn't see it. And now, you know, what? He's out there. Every time he talks, Trump talks about the vaccine.
Yep.
He doesn't get it. I mean, people are like, what? Not again. This guy. And so he is really, his brand is diminishing every time he opens his mouth about the vaccine. So I don't know what kind of quid pro quo he has regarding that. But when he comes out with Tony Blair and everybody else, you have to think somebody somewhere is telling these folks what to say, when to say, and they're either getting some kind of financial benefit or they're blackmailed or there's leverage and so many different things. It's like, but my point is the people will come back. They will come back.
Yeah. I think that there's, like I said, I do honestly believe that there's a lot of people who want actual answers, that they're frustrated and they're sick and tired of the same old crap and they don't buy it. But the system is designed to make them turn off entirely and go away. That's what it's designed, just totally and fully demoralize them, you know, kind of Yuri Bezmenov style, where they just give up and they don't participate in any form of fashion. They never actually get the answers. And, you know, for me, I'm not sure what the message is that kind of resonates with people, because I don't believe the 3% crowd. Oh, we only need 3% bullshit. The reason that took such a small percentage back then was because they had a very significant portion of the rich, powerful people on their side when the colonists, so called, revolted.
Yeah, it's a big difference. There was a lot of
oil. It's a big difference. Do you see anybody who's rich and powerful on our side? No, they're all inside scammers feeding at the Fed trough, and so we're not going to get them. And so we need a lot more numbers before something can happen. And it's, you know, it's demoralizing to talk to people and, you know, it sounds like they're getting it. They think they're getting it. And then the next thing you know, it's like, so who should we, you know, and the next thing you talk about is voting in 2024 and the getting orders, like, dude, you didn't hear what I just said. It's not going to work. I mean, these people they're not on your team. And the only chance is to decentralize the living crap out of this place. You can't have a system over 350 million people and ever expect it to be anything except for an insane tyranny. And they just, you know, it's very hard to get people to accept that. It's very, very hard to get people to accept that. And I don't know what the answers are with regards to, you know, when people do, as you said, which they get all upset. I get that. My God, I get huge amounts of grief all the time. And at a smaller scale because I have such a smaller reach. But we get the same basic kind of thing because we have the same basic kind of message, you know, of actual truth, actual liberty, not just the other side of the red-blue coin, not just a libertarian other side of the red-blue coin, but reality. And that is just very, very, very hard for people to swallow. It's really hard, you know. I get feedback periodically, like on my Twitter and stuff, because I don't get to talk to as many people, but I get feedback from people who tell me that, you know, they thought I was crazy when they first saw me. They stuck around for some tweets, they followed, and now they've completely swung over. And some people it takes, you know, 6 months, some people a year, some people, you know, some event wakes them up. But the same kind of thing is what you did with the voting. You know, I put shows out about that last year, about and told them, look, this is not going to get resolved by the Supreme Court. These things are bringing, it's just all fantasy. This is just a distraction. It's a money-raising event. And same kind of thing, all this grief and, oh, you don't know. What are you supposed to do? We've got to still the lesser two evils. We've got to vote for the... All the stupid same shit you've heard 1,000 times, too. And it's like, okay, well, dude, believe whatever you want. You know, you can't force ideas into people's heads. They have to be open to it. If they're not open to it, they're not going to hear it. It's just, there's nothing else to it. So once you have them open... does it work better to give them a shocker, or does it give them work better to put them in some warm water and slowly boil it on them? I don't know. I don't know which one works better.
Well, when you're talking about constitutional issues and constitutional and First Amendment issues and experts and things like that, we have a number of them, so-called, on television. They never seem to tell you a damn thing. All they're doing, right, is hawking books and becoming more wealthy and more wealthy. And they come from the establishment. They come from the swamp. They forget to, yep, tell people that. And so that's like, that's their reference on a First Amendment or a constitutional expert, someone who is hawking wares all the time and not telling them the truth. So I think when a guy like you comes along, they're like, hey, wait a minute. This is such a stark contrast from my,
right,
regularly favorite trading card, First Amendment heroes, constitutional heroes.
Right.